Lord, we prayed already a few times this morning. Now we come to your word. And many people wonder, what relevance does this have to my life, to my situation? And Father, I just pray and I hope that as I share this morning that we might be able to see the relevance. We might be able to see the truth and the light and the life that can be found in Jesus. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you look at the world that we live in, certainly if you consider the year that we have had, I think it's pretty easy for us to conclude that this world is actually not the way that it was meant to be. This recent flood in Cairns is not the first. We've actually seen a number of these natural disasters worldwide that have caused great destruction and devastation. Certainly, financial pressures in the market have affected our entire planet in recent times as well. And if you consider, you know, Russia and Ukraine, you know, they're still warring over there at great cost to human life. Even recently, we've been shocked by what's happened over in Israel between Israel and Hamas, and just the loss of life of civilians on both sides. There's lots of things that are happening in our world that we look at and actually remind us that this world is not the way that it was meant to be. Somehow it's broken. It's disordered. This is not how God intended it to be in the beginning. And this is not just a global macro thing. This is something that we experience in our own lives as well. I'm pretty confident that many of us here have had challenges this year, lots of different challenges. Some of these may have been financial. Others of us have had health challenges, really difficult ones to walk through. Other people have lost loved ones, sometimes unexpectedly, going through the pain and the loss of that. And I don't know about you, but I've seen marriages break apart this year and families just disintegrating. I've seen that happen. And so this is not just out there. This is something that we experience in our own lives. This world is not the way that it was meant to be. It is disordered and it is broken. And we can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that things are worse than they have ever been. But all you need to do is be a student of history to know that that's actually not the case. We're not going to go through and have a look at lots of different scenarios, but I just want to present you with one case study this morning from a couple of thousand years ago. Picture some shepherds. They're just out in a field, minding their own business, 2,000 years ago. Think of the life of a shepherd. They occupied a low station. So trying to provide for their family, trying to, you know, put food on the table, these kind of things were genuine concerns for them, you know, genuine worries. What if a wild beast comes and attacks us, gets my flock, that's my livelihood? In the first century as well, what we see is that, you know, my child might not actually survive this winter. My wife might actually die in childbirth. These are things that were genuine worries and concerns that people had, but they were also things that people experienced themselves. They walked through this stuff. So this broken world, it impacts us not just in seeing these things, but what we feel is things like pain and loss and sorrow. And we can look forward and we can think of the future and we can experience worry and anxiety. So this is what we experience, but I hope you can see as well that this is what people in the first century could have experienced as well. These particular shepherds that I'm talking about, we don't know. Pure speculation, that's just some general things. But these guys are out in the field and they're minding their own business when all of a sudden something amazing and incredible happens. And this is described for us in Luke chapter 2. So what I'm going to do is going to read to you just some verses that describe the scene that unfolded before these shepherds. So this is verse 8. In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, They were keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So as I said, these shepherds, they're minding their own business when all of a sudden an angel appears to them and the glory of the Lord in the sky. And how do they respond to it? They're overcome with fear because they have never seen anything like this before. I don't know if you've read the scriptures much, but if you read the accounts of when angels appear, generally the first thing they say is, "Don't be afraid." And the message of this angel is, you don't need to be afraid, because I actually come bearing good news of great joy for all the people. That's the message that this angel brings. Good news of great joy for all the people. And he continues, "Today a child has been born in the city of David." Now, if you're sitting here, and I can see that there are some children here, and you've had children of your own, then you may be able to relate to the joy that comes when a child is born. Some of you won't know this, but recently we actually did have our first child. And so I feel like I get this. I get when it's talking about joy, because we were excited for our daughter to come months before she even arrived. We were just like kids at Christmas, just wanting to know who she was going to be, just wanting to hold her. And then she came and we just were so happy. We just hold her, and that's joy. That is what happens when a child is born. We feel this joy. And so I know what this is talking about. There's something else that I've observed as well. You know, where joy-filled, tick that box. Our friends and family and our church family, you guys seem pretty happy too, and that's great. But the further that people are away from us, the less they care. You know, generally they're like, "Oh yeah, that's pretty good, good for you guys," but then they kind of just get on with their own lives. It doesn't really impact them more than that. It's just a random bit of news, think about it for 30 seconds, and then they're on with their way. And I'm no different, I would be the same. It's just how things are. So what we discover about the birth of children is that it's good news of great joy for some people, but it's not good news of great joy for all people. Somehow, the birth of Jesus was different to all the other children that have ever been born before. They were just good news of great joy for some, whereas his birth was good news of great joy for all the people. Jew, Greek, Roman, African, Asian, American, European, Australian, the lot. Somehow, his birth is set apart from all of these. And if you're paying attention, you're listening, the angel has actually already given us the answer to this. See, what he said is that Jesus, today, a Saviour has been born. That key word there is Saviour. And it's literally in the name. A Saviour is somebody who saves someone or something. And that is who Jesus is. He is the Saviour of the world. You know, earlier I spoke about a world that is ravaged by sickness and war and pain and loss and death. You know, that is the world that we occupy. Sin and death, these things reign. But because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are actually able to be saved from these things. That's what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior. The way that Jesus actually saves us is by sacrificing his life. You see, in the Old Testament, before Jesus had even come onto the scene, people were permitted to bring animals. Because of their sinfulness, they could bring an animal sacrifice, and its blood would pay the price for their sin. By being killed and shedding its blood, people would be cleansed from their unrighteousness, and their forgiveness was purchased from God. But the problem with these Old Testament sacrifices is that they were only temporary. They had to keep bringing more and more sacrifices, more blood, more blood, more blood, to pay for their sin. And this is where Jesus comes into the picture. Because of his perfect life, He is able, he is qualified to be the Savior of the world. He is qualified to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world once for all people. And that is how Jesus saves the world. He actually went to the cross and he was killed, a perfect man, to take away our sins, purchase forgiveness of sins from God. And you might be thinking, well, that sounds pretty dour. But if you know the story, it actually doesn't stop there. On the third day, he rose again. He actually came back to life, this time to an immortal and imperishable body. Jesus is never going to die again. He's alive. And this is the great Christian hope. If you believe in Jesus, if you trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, then you too will have salvation from death. The hope of the resurrection, you know, he was raised to an immortal and imperishable body. And if you believe in him, you will be included in this resurrection as well. Death will not be the end. It will just be the beginning, the start of our life with Christ. There is no other answer to this problem of death. There just isn't one. This is why Jesus is the Savior of the world. And this is why this message of his birth is good news of great joy. When you believe in this, that's the one condition. If you believe in the message of Jesus, you enter into his family. You can join in and experience this joy for yourself. See, the joy comes from two places, really. It comes from knowing Jesus personally. When you put your faith in him, you actually come to know him spiritually. You know him. You're in a relationship with him. And the second way is the joy of our salvation. We actually have confidence that when we die, we're going to be raised to life again. The people that we love, the people that have died on us in Christ, we know we'll see them again. That is the hope of the resurrection. But when you know this, it produces joy in us as well. So this is good news of great joy for all the people, all those who put their faith in him. But it's also an invitation as well. I don't know about everybody here. Maybe you just came along because it was Christmas. Maybe you'd actually been coming along a long time. And just quietly, you actually know that you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, but you just come along because that's what your family does. I want to challenge you on that. I want to encourage you to actually put your faith in Jesus. Because if you are hearing about this joy that I'm speaking about, and you've gone, I have never experienced a joy like that in my life. I don't know what that's like, but I'd like to. There's literally one thing you need to do, which is just trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. If you do that, you'll come to know him, as I spoke about. And that's not something that you can describe in a book. You actually have to experience it for yourself. There is joy in knowing Jesus. But you also come to know the joy of your salvation as well. So if there is anybody here who knows in their heart that they have never trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, whatever you need to do, if you need to go do homework and read about the historicity of Jesus, if that's something that you need to do, by all means, I did the exact same thing myself. Go off and do your homework, but put your trust in Jesus, and I believe that you will experience this joy that I've been speaking about this morning. So that's obviously to one group of people. Probably the most of us here are Christians, and maybe we've been so for a long time. So the question is actually, well, how joyous are we? Do you guys have joy? I've been challenged by this. Do I have enough joy? Because I believe as Christians, we can experience the joy that I'm speaking about this morning. Maybe you struggle with this. This is something you struggle with. Maybe, you know, you've experienced this a long time ago, but some stuff happened and you forgot. I want to tell you that I believe we can know this joy afresh. I want to propose to you that it's a bit like going to a well. You know, in some of those tribal places, they need to go to wells to get water. If they don't walk to the well, they don't have water. That's just the matter of the fact. No well, no water. And I believe that it's a little bit like that with Jesus. If we don't go to him, spend time with him, talk to him, read his word, we're not going to the well. We're not going to know what this joy is that I've been speaking about. This is similar to what it says in John 15, where it talks about Jesus being the vine and us needing to remain in him. He says, if you remain in me, then I will remain in you. And he talks about joy at the end of that chapter as well. So if you've lost your joy or you've forgotten what it's like, I believe that if you do these things, you spend time with Jesus, You go to the well, read his word, talk to him about stuff. You'll experience this joy just in relationship with him, but also you'll be renewed afresh in that confidence and the joy that comes from the hope of the resurrection, knowing that death is not the end. You know, this is a joy that is able to withstand some of the things that life has to throw at us. The scriptures acknowledge that we will have times of sorrow, we'll have times of pain and loss and hardship. That's part of life in a broken world. But the joy that is available to us in Christ withstands all of this stuff. It's stronger than all of this stuff. And it helps us to rise above the things that are going on in this world. So if you're in that space, you're a Christian, just spend time with Jesus. I guarantee if you do that, then you'll be refreshed in your joy. I guarantee you. So wherever you are this morning, it's literally the same thing. Good news of great joy for all the people. The Savior has been born, and through faith in him, we can actually know this joy, knowing him personally and knowing the hope of the resurrection. So this Christmas, that's my hope for us, for myself, for my family, is that we know the joy of Jesus. That's what I would pray for us this morning. I'm actually going to do that now. I'm going to pray, and we're going to keep singing some carols. So please join with me as we do that. Loving Father, we've just considered this message of Jesus, and it's not rocket science. It's something that we hear all the time. We hear it every Christmas, every Easter, every Sunday. We think about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, I think joy is something that many people struggle with. And it's challenging to us to hear that this is available to us in you. I think it is a strong rebuke of us sometimes being distracted and letting our minds wander to other things. But Lord, people do walk through some difficult circumstances, and sometimes it's difficult, very difficult, to have joy in the midst of pain. So I just want to bring anyone before you this morning, Father, that has had a tough year, experienced pain, and forgotten what your joy is like. Not for my sake, but for theirs, Lord, I do pray that you might refresh them in their joy. Knowing you and experiencing you is not something that you can get secondhand. It's something that you have to get for yourself. So I pray, Lord, that each of us would take that challenge to heart and seek to know you personally, to know you in our hearts. And Lord, I do pray that we might know your joy this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Well, I'm going to get our musicians back up.